Good morning. I'm Jeff Robinson, in for Jennifer Napier Pierce, and this is City Views. In 2010, the Utah Board of Education unanimously adopted the Common Core Standards, an initiative led by the National Governors Association and the Council of Chief State School Officers in the areas of math and language arts. But ever since then, the State Office of Education has had to defend the Common Core from fierce criticism by groups and even some state lawmakers who charge that it will lead to the nationalization of education policy and allow Utah to be manipulated by the federal government for federal funding. Still, Governor Gary Herbert has defended the Common Core, saying it is not a, quote, socialistic program. Today, we're looking at the Common Core, what it is, what is its purpose, and what it will mean for Utah students. Joining me now in the studio are Brenda Hales, Associate State Superintendent with the Utah State Office of Education. Brenda, it's good to have you.
Nice to be here.
Also with us is Stan Rasmussen. He is Public Affairs Director for the Sutherland Institute, a conservative think tank in Salt Lake City that recently released a white paper concluding that Utah should withdraw from the Common Core. And Stan, it's good to have you here as well.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate the opportunity.
Listeners, join us on the air with your questions and comments about the Common Core. Is it right for Utah schools? We welcome your questions and comments at 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. Well, let me start off by asking you both kind of a broad question here to get your perspectives. What is the Common Core? And Brenda, let's start with you.
Well, the Common Core is a state-led effort to come up with a set of standards that teachers can use in language arts and mathematics, much like a physician uses a height and weight chart. So what it does is lets students know what they need to know, what they need to be able to do in order to be successful post-secondary, and it helps teachers have a way of looking at students on each grade level and say, well, this student I need to do more for them. I need to give them acceleration, or another student needs to have some remediation or some extra help. And in that way, the standards help teachers be the best instructors that they possibly can.
And Brenda, following up on that quickly, what is the difference between standards and curriculum, and which is the core?
Standards are it's a list, if you will, of what kids need to be able to know and do. Mm-hmm. The curriculum is everything else. So standards by themselves are not a panacea. Mm-hmm. What they do is they're guideposts, if you will, or they lead to their benchmarks that help teachers plan and decide what to do for students. So curriculum could include books, materials, teaching strategies, grouping strategies, all the things that go along with instruction.
Stan Rasmussen with the Sutherland Institute. From the Sutherland Institute's perspective, what is the Common Core? And start off by giving us your thoughts on what it is.
Thanks, Jeff. Well, let me just share a few things that hopefully will be helpful and frame our conversation today. And I want to say how much I appreciate this opportunity to discuss the matter of Common Core State Standards and to do so with Brenda Hales. My colleagues and I appreciated very much the opportunity we had to meet with her recently, and we respect her commitment to serving the best interests of the children of our state and that of her colleagues in the State Office of Education. I just have to tell you, I believe there's no one in our state more knowledgeable about the topic of Common Core, what it is and how it works. Among the fundamental concerns for me and my Sutherland colleagues is the intrusive role of the federal government in public education in Utah. I believe Brenda and her colleagues may share similar, though perhaps not all, such concerns, and I'll leave it to her to comment on that if she wishes to do so. We're also very interested in matters relating to standards and to standardization. Regarding the Common Core state standards, we recognize and acknowledge that the impetus and efforts that produce these standards were initiated by states and not the federal government. But along the way, Common Core has been boarded by pirates, you might say, the Federal Department of Education, and has thereby been commandeered in significant ways, the federally funded SBAC, the Smarter Balance Assessment Consortium, being one example. And we'll get more into that as we go along, I suspect. Another is the co-opting of Common Core by the Race to the Top program. The history of NCLB and the No Child Left Behind, mm-hmm, and other presumably well-intentioned federal education programs reinforces Sutherland's commitment to diminishing federal influence in the education of our children here in Utah. And we feel that Utah should do all possible to ensure that it has no connection with the federal government regarding education standards in the form of Common Core or any other effort to establish public education standards.
All right, this is City Views here on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson, filling in for Jennifer Napier-Pierce, talking about the Common Core this hour. 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255 is a number to call. And Brenda, we'll have you respond to some of the specific points made by Stan coming up a little bit later. But first, I want to discuss, when did Utah become involved in both creating and adopting the Common Core? Did we have any involvement in writing out some of these standards as they were being made?
Absolutely. Our involvement in the core really began about 2005. In 2005, there were a series of reviews of the standards of the various states. We'd had core standards clear back since the 1985, and that's because they're benchmarks for teachers. They're not something that standardizes what they do. It's a benchmark that helps them understand how to plan for students. When in 2005, our math standards were given a D by a group called the Fordham Institute, we went through a revision, came up with a series of new standards in 2007. In 2007, there were folks going literally all around the nation criticizing state cores. And ours, again, was subject to an attack from those particular groups. And the legislature asked us again to revise them. And so at that point, we started looking at what other states were doing, particularly high-performing states and high-performing countries. And as we started talking with our colleagues around the country, it became very clear that we needed to get together to talk about it, which resulted in a discussion in April of 2009 in Chicago, and a decision to go forward with making new standards in reading and math that were common to a large majority of states. So during the course of the development of those standards, we were involved. I was involved personally. My staff members were involved. There were groups of experts that were brought in from each one of the states, from higher ed, from regular ed. The public was asked to invite and give comment. There was quite a process that went on. And we believe that the standards that we have now, our mathematics standards and our language arts standards, are excellent and that they will lead our students into the future.
And let's have you address one of Stan's main points, and the Sutherland Institute is that while this initiative was created by the states, it's a critics charge has been sort of co-opted by the federal government and tied to race to the top education funding, this idea that perhaps there are strings attached now to federal funding that the federal government could use to manipulate Utah. How do you feel about that concern, Brenda?
Well, you know, it's been interesting since the standards arrived, and that is there are a lot of people who like them, and that includes members of the Obama administration. And so what happened, it also includes, by the way, though, Jeb Bush, Condoleezza Rice, Bill Frist, Chris Christie. And what's happened is the feds have decided to include working with, in some kinds of grants, things like having common standards as a way of getting grants. Having charter schools is another thing that they've embraced and using those for grants. Having performance measures for teachers that involve growth, having pay for performance, and those, you'll recognize a lot of those as the list of things that also more conservatives like also. So this is a case where there have been some carrots out there for using those five areas, if you will, in what you're trying to do in terms of reform. But we have, from the very get-go, been very clear that the standards are ours. They're ours to change. We'll change them if we need to revise them, just like we have clear back since 1985. And really, interestingly enough, clear back since in the 1800s when John Taylor put out the first set of standards when he was over state instruction.
And Stan, we'll come to you in just a second, but one more question for Brenda. State Superintendent Larry Shumway recently wrote a letter to U.S. Education Secretary Arne Duncan about some of these concerns. What was the crux of that letter, and what kind of response did you get?
Well, basically, what Superintendent Shumway said is that on behalf of the board, I assert its right to complete control of Utah's learning standards in all areas of our public education curriculum. And in the letter returned from Secretary Duncan, he agreed that Utah's in control of our standards.
Listeners, join us on the air at 801-355-TALK as we talk about the Common Core with Associate State Superintendent Brenda Hales and Stan Rasmussen of the Sutherland Institute, 801-355-8255. So, Stan, coming back to you and the Sutherland Institute's recent white paper on why Utah should withdraw from the Common Core, talk a little bit in more detail about these concerns of federal involvement or federal endorsement of the Common Core and what you think that's going to lead to.
Well, let me just say, as an overview comment, we as an institute are very interested to see a diminishing of the federal government involvement in education in any form in the state of Utah. Let me talk about standards for a minute. Regarding standards, as we presented in the publication, Common Core is the best for Utah children. And let me just add, if people want to read it, it's available on our website. Sutherland recommended in that paper three principles to guide the choice of standards. Excuse me. One, Utah standards should be broad in substance and application in order to preserve a personalized learning environment for each individual student. So broad in substance and application. They should be the best possible. And we're confident that no one wants or expects anything less than the best for Utah children. No one at a policy level, at an executive or legislative level, certainly not in the state board or the state office. So we want the best possible standards for Utah children. And Utah standards should be independent with the ability to be changed at will. Now, I would add that regarding standardization, if standards are rigid, this can produce a hierarchy or sequence of rigidness. Rigid standards can lead to assessments that are rigid. Curriculum and instructional materials, such as worksheets, textbooks, PowerPoints, and other electronic illustrations and tools, will of necessity reflect that rigidity as well. And if all these elements of the educational process are aligned, it can lead to standardization. Another way of saying that is a factory model approach to education. And just an example of that, a simple one would be that right now we structure our school system by chronological age. We lump students together by age, and this makes it difficult to account for broad differences among them. So standardization, just to reiterate, we feel that it should be broad, best possible, and independent, and so that we can prevent or avoid getting into rigid standardization, which we think can turn the system more into a factory approach as opposed to an individualized approach.
Well, Stan, how does the Common Core not meet the Sutherland Institute's criteria then for standards? Why do you say that this is not the right choice for Utah?
Well, our primary concerns have to do with the overlay of the federal government. Again, not that it was initiated by the feds, but it has been encroached upon, to say the least. And we believe that, notwithstanding the fact that it was initiated by states, there is some potential danger associated with becoming more rigidly standardized.
This is City Views here on KCPW. I'm Jeff Robinson. We're talking about the Common Core this hour. We're going to take a short break and be right back on the air. Join us on the air yourself at 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. I'm Jeff Robinson. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jeff Robinson, in for Jennifer Napier Pierce, and you're listening to City Views. We are talking about the Common Core standards adopted by the Utah State Board of Education unanimously in 2010. You can join us on the air now at 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255, with your questions and comments about the Common Core. Our guests are Brenda Hales, she's Associate Superintendent with the State Office of Education, and Stan Rasmussen, who is Public Affairs Director for the Sutherland Institute, a conservative think tank here in Salt Lake City that is skeptical of the Common Core and recently wrote a white paper concluding that Utah should withdraw from the Common Core. Brenda, coming back to you, you recently wrote a blog post at utahpubliceducation.org countering claims by a group calling itself the Utah Education Coalition that you describe as misinformation. What kind of misinformation do you believe foremost is being circulated right now about the Common Core, whether it be by one group or another?
Well, in the first place, I want to point out, as we've been talking, Stan and I understand we have more in common than we have the differences. We have a lot in common in how we view what we want for kids here in Utah. And I guess some of the things that, that we've been concerned about on a state level is making sure that individuals who, well, let me give you an example. There's the rumor that the CORE was written by someone in the Obama administration and that there was a conspiracy among people to create the standards. It just isn't true. So those are the kinds of misinformation that we try to help people understand. No, this is a state-led effort. There was lots of input. There was a rumor going around that we had never chatted with the legislature about the standards. And no, we have on several occasions. So those are the things that we worry about. There's been rumor about quality of the standards. Are they the best standards for Utah students? And I need to quantify by everything by saying right off the bat, if they're, these standards are now Utah's core standards, and that's how we refer to them.
Mm-hmm.
Our participation with CCSSO and the National Governors Association ended when we finished writing the core. And so now these standards are in our bailiwick, and we feel perfectly comfortable changing them whenever we need to, as we have other standards in the past. In terms of there being the best, you know, there are, let's take the math standards, for example. We have chatted with mathematicians across our state,
mm-hmm.
folks like Dr. Hugo Rossi at the University of Utah, Jim Cangliosi at Utah State, and all of them agree that these are an excellent set of standards and they're good for our kids. Then this has been going down the road for 2 years. The train's left the station. We've been using this for a while, and we're getting feedback from our teachers on the changes it's making and how they teach. One thing I want to reassure those who think that standards lead to standardization, along with our standards for the math and language arts, we've also put out standards for teachers and for professional, such as principals, that talk about, now here's your here's standards. Now how can you differentiate for instruction? How can you use this to take kids from where they are to where they need to be? And how can you do it in such a way that we're not creating Stepford children? So that's the first thing I don't think you have to worry about. In terms of there being broad, the article suggested that we really only needed three standards, and that was that kids be able to read, do mathematics, and be good citizens. Then those we think are wonderful goals. In fact, they're part of our promises to keep. Those are goals. If that's the only standard that you have, though, you don't have a benchmark for teachers in order to weigh that on each grade level. It helps them understand where kids are and where they should be. And again, in terms of being the best, if you take a look at folks like the U.S. Army has endorsed them, the Society of Statisticians, various businesses from Intel, Microsoft, these are an outstanding set, and we hope that they will be able to help us with our students in the future.
Stan Rasmussen of the Sutherland Institute, let's come back to you for a response, particularly on Brenda's point that standards are not standardization. You know, one of the arguments the State Office of Education is making to counter some of the critics of the Common Core.
Well, I think we would agree. Standards are not standardization. When they're very rigid, they can contribute to standardization, but standards is not something that we have heartburn about.
Well, let's talk about that rigidity, because a point that you make in your white paper is that Utah's autonomy to change the Common Core or leave the Common Core is diminished because of the fact that we've joined it. We'll ask both of you to weigh in. How is Utah roped into the Common Core, as you point out in the paper?
Well, the Common Core does have specifics and expectations and requirements, and as Brenda has said, the state does have flexibility and can opt out of some of those, but until the state does, the state hasn't. And so it would be our hope that the state would exercise that opportunity to make a new decision and to step away from some of those strictures.
And Brenda, talk about what would go into that if Utah were to opt out of certain parts of the Common Core or say we want to rewrite this portion.
Sure. the three documents that were in the article that were referenced is the first document was a memorandum of understanding with CCSSO and NGA. And that was just, I think that was a misunderstanding on Sutherland's part, because that was just for participation in development. So that one is something that has no, there's no binding, nothing that binds us whatsoever. On the second one, on it's called the SBAC agreement. And what that is that the federal government put out grants for writing assessments that go along with the new standards. Utah belongs to that coalition, and in the documents that go along with it, there's a couple of phrases that worry people. One is, it says that in 2014-2015, if Utah is still a member, then we would, in fact, be bound to using the Common Core and using the assessments. And then there's another phrase that talks about working together with other states to share student information in a way that hasn't been done before. So those, that's in strictly in our power. If we want, if the state board wants to remove itself from SBAC, they can. And in fact, I think that's something that they'll be thinking about and talking about Friday. One of the things we want to be really careful about, we don't want to leave any perception out there that we don't have control over our own destiny. And if that's interfering with the perception, then that's something the board's going to take into consideration on Friday. The other one is, there is a flexibility waiver offered to get out of some of the provisions of NCLB. And this is when you talk about federal interference. Mm-hmm. Since 2002, NCLB has been the epitome of federal interference. And what this waiver does is allow states to come up with their own plan that can supersede part of what happened in NCLB. And in that particular waiver, there's a section where you can either check a box that says you're going to adopt standards in at least reading and language arts that are common to a significant number of states, or you can check that you're going to have your higher ed folks approve what you're doing. And if people just read that top box and then don't read the writers underneath it, they might get concerned that we have committed ourselves to sticking with a complete set of standards. But as you get further in the document, we reference the two letters you referenced today, Jeff. We reference, as part of our writers and part of our agreement, that we affirm the right to complete control of our standards, and we'll change them any time we want to. And then we also reference the letter from Secretary Duncan. But again, if that's something that bothers leads a perception, if there's not close reading, if you just read the top and don't read the whole document, you could get into concerns about that. So generally, what we're battling is a perception battle. But perceptions are real for a lot of people. And if this gets in the way, then that's something the board will consider on Friday.
Brenda, let me ask, going back to 2010, if you had known in advance what kind of criticism, what kind of concerns the adoption of the Common Core would raise, is there anything that the State Office of Education or the board would have or should have done differently when they were implemented? Could state lawmakers have been kept more in the loop, or the governor? Is there anything else you could have done differently that would have eased concerns up front about the Common Core?
You know, I've thought a lot about that. We actually held meetings in several different places around the state. We held public comment over the summer via our website. We met with the legislature several times and with the Governor's Excellence Commission. And I think in the back of my head, once we had spent about 8 months doing our communication and PR about the core, I made the big mistake of thinking that we didn't need to continue doing quite as much outreach. If I had to do it over again, I would continue to have had those conversations. However, I went back and looked, and I think I've talked in the last 2 years to over in 100 different locations about the core. It's just that I think the difference is that we're in a political season. There's a look to see what is there to criticize, what is there to make a political issue out of, and that's unfortunate, because the core isn't about politics. It's about trying to prepare our kids for life, to help them be successful. And that's what we're all about. We really want We want our kids to have the best possible education that they can have, and that's what we're about.
801-355-TALK is the number to call to join the conversation about the Common Core this morning, 801-355-8255. Stan Rasmussen of the Sutherland Institute, let's come back to you for a response. Are concerns about the Common Core related to politics? Where are the facts in this debate when it comes to, you know, who's on the right side here, and what facts perhaps could you point to when it comes to backing up your white paper about the Common Core?
Well, I think Brenda makes some good points, and I think in retrospect, any of us, when we undertake a significant effort, can see things that we would do differently or better. And she mentioned perhaps more persistent in the outreach. You know, we undertake things and efforts, and we try to do outreach, but inevitably in the rearview mirror, you notice things that you didn't see through the windshield. But I think the political season is part of it. I think there's an awakening among citizens, and I think it's across the social political spectrum. I think that's a good thing, and I think when it comes to the education of children in Utah, there are probably few things that that are more meaningful and important to us as Utahns, to us as parents, and so when you combine those with the continuing specter of inappropriate involvement of the federal government in matters that are should be dealt with at a state level and a local level. You put all that together, I think there is an awakening, and people say, I need to pay more attention to this. And in paying attention, citizens perhaps don't have the perspective and the background and the depth. I mean, Brenda spends a great deal of her time on this, and gratefully so, but parents will look at it and they'll see things that strike them as significant and of concern, and they'll address them. And I think there's a natural tendency by people who are professionals in responsible roles, whether it's education or any other setting, to feel like, well, wait a minute, that's what you hired us to do, and we're doing it. And sometimes maybe a feeling of Johnny come lately, but whatever it is, you add all that up and you've got some very strong concerns born out of some very legitimate fundamental interests in things that are of great importance, and there's little of more importance to us than our children.
So, Stan, would you agree then that some of the groups have been circulating some misinformation about the Common Core? I remember a couple months ago I interviewed Superintendent Larry Shumway, and he marveled at a quote in the Salt Lake Tribune by an unnamed state lawmaker who said that the Common Core would somehow lead to a pro-gay agenda in the schools, and he said it was a absolutely ridiculous comment. And I know the Sutherland Institute has not made that claim, but I'm just giving it as an example. Do you think that there are some people spreading misinformation about the Core out there?
Possibly so, but I think more likely it's people raising some important questions. And in raising those questions, not having all the answers, and in the process of trying to identify the answers, are digging, and I don't mean digging for dirt. I mean they're seeking to understand, and they're asking questions. And I'll just have to tell you, it's not a giant leap to see the federal involvement in education, particularly that of the Obama administration, and you see what the president has done with respect to homosexual rights and those types of things. And it's I'm not here to prosecute that point. I'm just saying, it's not exiting the reservation of rationality to wonder if maybe that could be part of what could come with the continuing excessive involvement of the federal government in educational processes and policy.
This is City Views on KCBW. We're speaking with Stan Rasmussen of the Sutherland Institute and Associate State Superintendent Brenda Hales about the implementation of the Common Core here in Utah. Brenda, let's come back to you to address this point of, you know, this idea eventually possibly leading to, you know, the Obama administration's values being taught in Utah schools.
This is where I'm going to have to agree to disagree with Stan, and that's because, for one thing, I think Utah teachers are very aware and very sensitive to Utah values. I have a lot of faith and trust in our teachers and our educators. The second thing is, I just don't buy into the connection or the possible connection. You know, they're one of the. This has nothing to do with Sutherland. We had a flyer that came across my desk that had like a whiteboard on it that showed that really the whole connect, and the point of it was to try and prove that Bill Gates really wrote the Common Core, and that he did it as a attempt to encourage UN domination and world government. And there, I mean, there's all kinds of information they were able to find from the web and from the internet that they put in, and they brought quotes in, and here's this whiteboard with this convoluted connection. The individuals who have purported those kinds of things, I think they've really gone way off base. The concerns that I really want to address and want to help people with is, if anybody has any concerns about the quality of the standards, then please bring them up, read them, show them. Come talk to me about them. Come talk to us about them, because to me, that's where you take a look. What is it you object about the standards? I mean, is it a division and multiplication? That kind of, I mean, what is it you object to? And then secondly, talking about if there's any misconception about not doing individualized instruction or differentiated instruction, come talk to me about that. When the conversation gets way out, then you don't have room for discussion like we're having today with Sutherland. This is a legitimate discussion that we're having. The discussion about federal involvement in education is something that's a legitimate discussion and that ought to be talked about. I was in a district in 2002 when NCLB came out, and I'll never forget, somebody came out from Washington to visit our district because they had heard that we were critical of some of the provisions, and this individual who came in, sat down, and said, "I'm here to ferret out negativity about No Child Left Behind." I will never forget that. That was interference from the highest level, and that was the Bush administration. And so when you, that kind of thing, federal involvement, whether it's from...
Federal does not always mean Democrats.
Yes, federal involvement, federal interference like that. I don't think there's a person in the Utah State Office of Education that's going to disagree with Sutherland on that. And so those are the kinds of conversations that we like to have. We want to talk about the standards. Mm-hmm. We want to talk about the impact of federal interference. When it gets dicey is if someone asks me to talk about someone. I've been asked to go to a seminar in a week, and there are a list of names that they want me to comment on. And when I looked at I didn't know a lot of the people, and I started looking up on the internet, and I could see that they were people that have polarizing views on the internet. And I thought, you know, gee, that's McCarthyism. That's not talking about standards. When you put someone's name and you're trying to put them down or trying to say this person's evil, therefore you must not use anything they wrote, or this person has a bad record, therefore do not take a grant from them, that's when I get concerned. Because that's when it goes beyond talking about what's important. Things like, are the standards good or bad? Can we change them if we want to? Are they the best we can do for Utah? When we get beyond that, that's when I get concerned.
And Associate Superintendent Brenda Hales, for the last couple minutes we have here, let's talk about the implementation of the core here in Utah. So adopted in 2010 by the State Board, does that mean it's already in the classroom, fully implemented, partially implemented? Where are we right now exactly?
For language arts, we are implemented. Mm-hmm. For mathematics, we're partially implemented. We decided, because mathematics is really about 2.5 years in greater depth and complexity than the previous core, we're giving teachers more time for implementation. In the reading language arts, it's about a year more difficult, but we've been focusing with teachers on what the most difficult concepts are. They're mainly how to frame an argument, how to read more closely, to read for detail, how to help kids, whether it's Shakespeare they're reading or something from the newspaper, how to have a really close reading. So it has been less difficult for teachers to make the adjustment. The math is significantly different. It's a lot more like Singapore math. It takes great depth. It goes in deep into concepts. sometimes teachers can spend 2 or 3 hours on one idea till they're sure the kids understand where they're going. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit more difficult to implement.
And is that implementation, Brenda, being left up to individual school districts? Is it kind of a situation where the state has strict oversight and is making sure the school districts are implementing it exactly? Or how is that being done among the state's 40 or so school districts?
We gave our LEAs a suggested implementation timeline, then told them it was up to them. That's a locally held decision. They used to have, back before the economy kind of tanked, there was a $78 million fund for professional development for teachers. Mm-hmm. And that's what people used whenever we changed standards. Because again, this is something that we've done over and over again in my career many, many, many times. That $78 million went away. And so what we have instead was we had $2 million for last summer and this summer, $1 million for last summer, $1 million this summer. We have additional $1 million for next summer. What we've been doing is trying to train facilitators and give individuals within the districts a look at it, a look at the core, and then the districts are doing the majority of the training.
Stan Rasmussen with the Sutherland Institute. Let's come back to you finally to wrap up our discussion on the Common Core this morning. If you had to sum up Sutherland Institute's concerns about the Common Core, why you feel that they are legitimate concerns and something that Utah parents should be concerned about when it comes to their kids in K-12 public schools, how would you sum those up?
Well, Jeff, I appreciate it. And again, thanks for this invitation this morning. Let me just respond to a comment that Brenda made. She said that we have a lot of trust in our teachers and educators. And I would say, as do we. Our concerns run more to systemic elements, factors in the system like increasingly rigid standards, especially standards, rigid standards that are imposed by influences outside of the state. You know, the 20th century management guru Peter Drucker said something that I think may be pertinent here. There's nothing so useless as doing efficiently that which we should not be doing should not be done at all. In other words, we could ask, what is it the time that we stop trying to do better that we should not be doing at all? And that is developing and implementing more rigid standardization of the elementary and secondary education of children. Utah can and should develop standards that are best for Utah students, standards consistent with the three criteria that we've mentioned here and in our paper. Even if we have standards that are not as broad and flexible as we would like, we can still make them the best standards in the nation as far as those kinds of standards go. The state's improvement of math standards before Common Core is evidence that the state could probably do this. It's for these reasons that we would recommend that Utah change from the option A to option B with respect to standards so that we can adopt our own standards, subject to the approval of a network of the state's institutions of higher education. And we recommend that the state exit the SBAC so that the state can write our own assessments.
We've been speaking with Stan Rasmussen of the Sutherland Institute about Utah's adoption of the Common Core standards. Stan, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we've also had Brenda Hales, Associate State Superintendent, discussing the Common Core. Brenda, thank you as well.
Thanks, Jeff.
This is City Views on KCBW. We'll be right back after another short break.